So the theme verse for this, I'd like us all to take our Bibles and go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. My very first fellowship was in February of 1971, where many believers were gathered at a school cafeteria, I believe it was. And Steve Zalesi was there. But it was my very first fellowship. And what I saw at that fellowship is the embodiment of this verse. And I'd like us to go to verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Many times when we read God's word, it's imperative for us to look at the context so that we know what the verse is meaning to its fullest. And I'd like to do that with this verse. In order to do so, I'd like us to go to chapter 1, verse 25. And this, of course, when we approach God's word, we approach it with a great deal of respect, remembering that the prophecy of the scripture came not in old time by the will of men, but that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And God is not capable of lying. He says so in Numbers 23:19. Where he says he's not a man that he should lie. And in John 4:24, it states that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus Christ, who is tempted in all ways and yet without sin, declared in John 17:17 what truth really was. And he said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So when we approach this word of God, we approach it as the word of God. We don't approach it as a word of man. We don't approach it as an opinion. We approach it as it is, the word of God in truth. So as we approach this, let's look at verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Paul was a minister. A minister has several definitions. One who runs to serve. It also, it's defined in a few of the definitions that I've seen as one who is a waiter. Someone who waits tables, for instance. When you go to a restaurant, you order the food from the waiter. The waiter, if he's a good waiter, makes sure you are taken care of. He takes your order and makes sure you eat what you ordered. A minister, like Paul, was a waiter. He was a minister. He was a servant. He was someone who gave. That's why people like Steve Zalesi, Michael Gilmore, Joe Armstrong, Bob Chatton have always blessed me. They're not ones that come up and perform some kind of thing. They're people who have stuck in God's word. They're people who vacuum the floors, who set up plants, who put out songbooks, who work hard, who help wherever they're needed. That's what a minister does. They're not just one somebody who stands up and teaches. That's nice, but that's really not what a minister does. A minister's in there. And Paul was like that. And he said, I'm made a minister according to the administration. Dispensation means administration of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The word of God for Paul's life was he was a minister. And we'll see what it is. Even, verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now or lately is made manifest to his saints. The mystery. And any of us who know what a mystery is, it's hard to figure out for a while. You know, you see a movie that's a mystery. You don't always have it all figured out until it comes to its end, you know, and then you have it figured out. But this mystery had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And here it is, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's just something. This mystery had been hid from everyone by God until it was revealed to Paul. I don't know how many hundreds of years that was. I don't know how many thousands of years that was. I'm not a biblical scholar. I don't know that stuff. But I know it was a long time that God had this mystery hid until he made it available, until he revealed it unto the Apostle Paul, that this mystery would be Christ in you, the hope of glory, for everyone that's born from above. Man, oh man, Christ in us. Just imagine that. That's an incredible reality that I never get tired of thinking about. This mystery is what Paul did. That's what he communicated. That is what he served. That's what he gave people to eat. The mystery. That's what he gave them. That's why he lived. He lived so that he could make the mystery known amongst people. Not only known head knowledge wise, but known by living this mystery in his own life. He preached, he warned, he communicated, he taught, he labored, he worked hard to make this great mystery known, as we see in verse 28. Whom we preach is Christ in you, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that, and this is the reason when you see the word that, this is the purpose, the reason that they're warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom about the mystery is that we may present every man perfect in Christ, whereunto I labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. This was Paul's very heartbeat. This was Paul's life. This is why Paul existed and lived, so that he could make known this mystery, not just in knowledge, but that he could see it lived amongst God's people so that at the end that they could be perfect in Christ Jesus. And after many, many years, God was finally able to recapture all that Adam lost. Jesus Christ completely redeemed mankind so that we could have this mystery living amongst us today. And then on the day of Pentecost, for the very first time, people were born again or born from above when they got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. Tremendous day that must have been in the history of all mankind because it was the first time on the day of Pentecost. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. We're looking at what the mystery is, still in light of the context that their hearts might be knit together in love. Chapter 3 of Ephesians, in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation," and again that's the word oikonomia, which means administration, "if ye have heard of the administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." Revelation, that's how Paul understood and found out about the mystery. What is revelation? What is word of knowledge and word of wisdom? Word of knowledge is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may receive from God certain truths or facts which are humanly impossible for your senses to know anything. That's word of knowledge. You could not figure it out. God shows you. Humanly impossible for our senses to know a thing. We get ourselves in trouble when we try to figure things out so much. Relax, speak in tongues. It's healthier. Go ahead and try to figure it out and then let your head blow up. It's your privilege. Paul learned this mystery by revelation. God wanted him to know it. He told him, "Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." God told him what it was. Paul wrote it down. And Paul said, "When you read about it, you can understand my knowledge in the mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. It is now now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And look at this great part of the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister. Again, this, he was made a minister. He ministered the mystery. He brought the Gentiles and Jews, showed them that there was no longer a separation between them, but that Jews and Gentiles could be fellow heirs and of the same body. We really don't understand this verse because we haven't lived in a day and time where people were treated in such a terrible fashion. Not even the slaves in the United States of America in our history were treated as badly and as poorly as the Gentiles were treated by the Jews. They were considered dogs. And so this, to these people, when they first heard it, this must have really stood out. And we know that because we can read the book of Acts. Some of the Jewish believers had problems with this mystery because they just were too Jewish. I didn't mean it bad. I mean, they couldn't accept it. It was very difficult. And I understanding how bad there was a hate between those two. It was hard. I'm not picking on them. Whereof, again, I was made a minister, verse 7, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Boy, Paul didn't credit himself. He credited God. He credited to the grace of God. Boy, anything that we could ever know, that's spiritually great, is not a result of our goodness. It's certainly a result of God's goodness. Unto me, look at Paul, the greatest man since Jesus Christ, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which hath from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Christ Jesus, isn't in any critical Greek text, so it's not applicable. Paul wanted and desired that all could see this great mystery, that all could see that which from the beginning of the world had been hid until Paul knew it by revelation, that it was Christ in them, the hope of glory. Not only that, but that Jews and Gentiles could be fellow heirs and of the same body. You're starting to see how this is the context of our hearts knit together. Jews and Gentiles, fellow heirs and of the same body. One of the greatest tricks the adversary throws at all of us is to separate people by color, by religion, by country, by wealth, poverty, tons and tons of categories that the adversary throws to separate. I could tell this story. I was in another country with a bunch of other believers. And after we'd heard God's word for 6 or 7 hours, we went out that night. And we enjoyed an adult beverage. And I'm sitting next to a German believer. Wonderful. Let's call him Hans. And we're talking about the word and how we got blessed all day. And, oh, Bobby, I think you were there. And, oh, I know you were there. He goes, why doesn't your country have any culture? I don't know. I don't know. We just don't. You know, we're from the U.S., and we're enjoying ourselves. About 10 minutes later, he goes, why does your country not have any culture? I guess we're just stupid. I don't know. And then he said it one more time. And I said, you know, the Bible says, separates people three ways. Jews, Gentiles, church, right? Is that how it does it? 1 Corinthians 10:32, right? Jew, Gentile, church. That's all. It's not Ecuadorian. It's not Chilean. It's not United Statesian. Jew, Gentile, church. And if you really break it down, there's only two cultures. Believer, unbeliever. And I said, besides that, we kicked your ass in World War II. And for that, he was really thankful. He is a great guy, really. We talked again. He was a good guy. But you know, it's just like, the devil uses that too much. And we buy right into it. Whether it's hair products, new eyeglasses, new cars, new this, new that. Translate that, Victor. You know. What's your vector, Victor? Okay. So here Paul says that this was his life. And that's why he was a minister, so that people wouldn't be that way, separate, but that God fashioned and made a way for where we could be one body, have Christ in us. Whether we were black or white or from America, the non-cultured country, or any place else, it doesn't matter. Man, we're sitting here, we're born of God's Spirit, and we're all headed for we're going to live together a lot longer in the future than we do now. Right. So, God wants his people to know the mystery. That's clear. That's what Paul lived for. He wants his people to know what it is. He wants his people to know how to benefit from it. And to see how all nations could be part of the one body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2, please. You're right, Michael. It is really cool to be able to look at all you wonderful people. Man. At least tonight. Oh, I'm just kidding. Verse 1. And I, brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. You know what that means? Paul was not trying to impress the people that he was sharing with by giving intelligent words. Or trying to impress people by his tremendous wisdom. It's a pretty neat thing. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power. He didn't just talk the talk. He walked the talk. He walked on what he was teaching. He was an example that people could look at. He was a type, a person that made some kind of impression on people by his lifestyle, by the way he lived. He wasn't just a Bullsteiner. He was someone who believed. He was someone who saw God's power. We read it in God's word. He was a tremendous example for all to see. Verse 5. He demonstrated that, and there's that great word again, that your faith or your believing should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Man says you can't, God says you can. You know, God says you do, man says you don't. What do we condition ourselves to? Well, God's word. That's what we condition ourselves to. That's what we ought to. So that our believing could not ever stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that came to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. They did not know the mystery. If God didn't reveal it, then certainly no one could know it. The adversary couldn't know it. His devil spirits couldn't know it. The angels didn't know it in heaven. No one knew it but God until he revealed it to Paul. Had they known it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. That must be pretty important then. Let's think about that. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. The adversary would have never seen that happen if he had known the greatness of the mystery that is Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in me, Christ in us, Christ in all of us. And everywhere we go, Christ goes. Wherever we go, the same potential that Jesus Christ had to minister healing, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out lepers, to cast out devils, to make the blind to see in us now, right now, wherever we go. You're in Ecuador, I'm in Milltown, you know? Praise the Lord. Wherever I go, that's where Christ is. Wherever you go, that's where Christ is. Christ could only be in one place at one time when he was on earth. Here we sit. Christ in us. Hasn't changed since the day of Pentecost. We have it right now. Regardless of what senses say, regardless of what our mind tells us, that's the truth of God's word. That's what the word says. And that's what God wanted Paul to make known. It's what he wanted Paul to be an example of, and it's what he wanted Paul to share with people. And it's something that the devil didn't know, because had he known it, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. That's what God's word said, and that must be pretty important. Right. It sure is. This mystery is so big that those verses are in there. Romans 16, go back a page. Maybe. Verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. There it is again. No one knew it. It was a secret. That's why it's called a mystery. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Man, oh man, God's desire that this mystery is known, and not just known up in our heads, but in our hearts to the extent that we manifest this mystery. Fantastic. Because of Christ in us, we now have so many rights and privileges, don't we? You know, later on in Corinthians, we won't go there now, but God's word says that God wants us to know the things we've been freely given. He wants us to know our rights, that we're righteous, that we're redeemed, that we're sanctified, that we're reconciled, that we have love, that we have 9 manifestations that we can operate. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, healings, tongues of interpretation, and prophecy. He wants us to know who we are in Christ. And to live that way. Man, it's fantastic. He wants us to know that stuff. Now back in Colossians. So that really is the context of Colossians 2, too. The mystery. And God wants us to know this mystery very much so. Paul was a minister of the mystery. He worked hard to help believers understand it and to apply it in their lives. And in Colossians 2, verse 2, where is Colossians? There it is. It says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. That their hearts, The word hearts means the inner depths of their minds, their heart of hearts, their inner soul, you know, that their hearts, their inner depth of their minds might be comforted. And the word comfort means to encourage, assuage, or to be strengthened by comfort. God's word here says that their inner hearts, their inner soul could be strengthened by comfort. And certainly our hearts do get strengthened when we're comforted. And it says being knit together in love. Knit together means to join. It means to unite in affection. Not infection, affection. To unite in affection. God wants his children in the depths of their heart to be encouraged and also to unite in affection with God's love. That's what he wants us to unite in affection in. God's love. God's love. A love that never fails, God's word says. Something. That's what God wants us to have. Our hearts, our inner depth of our soul, to be comforted, to be strengthened by comfort. And that we're united in affection of God's love. That's one thing, one huge thing that binds us as believers. God's love. It's intertwined like those hearts. That's neat. Bob Chatton, I don't know where he learned how to draw. He knows how to do everything else. He did that, and then JC put it all together. Their hearts might be knit together in love and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. The full assurance means most certain confidence. That their hearts, their innermost depth of their minds might be comforted, might be united with affection, being knit together, united in affection of God's love, unto all riches of the full, most certain confidence. Understanding. And this word understanding is the word in Greek. It's sunesis, which means rivers that come together and flow. And it's flowing rivers coming together, but it means when we finally really understand something. The word sunesis means a complete certainty of understanding. And here, what is it? It is God's will for us to have a complete understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery. He wants rivers of our hearts to flow together to the end that we understand this mystery, that we really understand it, and that we come to the acknowledgement. And that word acknowledgement means a precise, correct knowledge of the mystery. God's heart for us is that our hearts can be knit together, just knit together, with tremendous affection of love. A love that never fails, a love that is tremendously powerful, a love that keeps on giving. And to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Reverend Walter Cummins recently did a tremendous piece of work, the greatest piece of work I've seen on, it's a working translation of Acts and through the epistles. And the way he translated this verse is, so that their hearts may be encouraged, united in love, even unto all riches of the complete certainty of understanding, unto the knowledge or acknowledgement of the mystery of God concerning Christ. I'll read it again. So that their hearts may be encouraged, united in love, even unto all riches of the complete certainty of understanding, unto the knowledge or the acknowledgement of the mystery of God concerning Christ. And my heart for all of us this weekend, me, you, all of us, is that we can understand this mystery even greater than we have, and that our hearts can be united in love, and not in a phony way, but in a genuine way, God's love, united in the greatness of the Word of God and the love of God. Because that's God's heart, and that's something that continues to bind us as believers. Bind us, meaning bring us together. And he wants us to be certain, not to doubt ever, the validity, the truth, that it is Jews and Gentiles and fellow heirs and of the same body, and that it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, Father, thank you so much for your word and how true it is and how easy it is to understand. Thank you, Father, for making it available for us to be alive in this day and time, to be able to be born of your seed and to be able to house your spirit, Father, and have Christ in us. I pray, Father, that we can walk with you and talk with you, and we can continue to learn more about your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, and all of his accomplishments for us and in us. And we're just grateful to be here tonight, Father. I pray for a wonderful sleep for everyone, a tremendous day tomorrow, should your Son tarry. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.